Dracula. This, then, was the undead home of the king vampire, to whom so many more were due. Its emptiness spoke eloquent to make certain what I knew. Before I began to restore these women to their dead selves through my awful work, I laid in Dracula's tomb some of the wafer, and so banished him from it undead forever. Then began my terrible task, and I dreaded it. Had it been but one, it had been easy, comparative. But three. To begin twice more after I had been through a deed of horror. For if it was terrible with the sweet Miss Lucy, what would it not be with these strange ones who had survived through centuries, and who had been strengthened by the passing of the years, who would, if they could, have fought for their foul lives? Oh, my friend John, but it was butcher work. Had I not been nerved by thoughts of other dead, and of the living over whom hung such a pall of fear, I could not have gone on. I tremble and tremble even yet. Though till all was over, God be thanked, my nerve did stand. Had I not seen repose in the first place, and the gladness that stole over it just ere the final dissolution came, as realization that the soul had been won, I could not have gone further with my butchery. I could not have endured the horrid screeching as the stake drove home, the plunging of the writhing form and the lips of bloody foam. I should have fled in terror and left my work undone. But it is over. And the poor souls, I can pity them now and weep as I think of them placid, each in her full sleep of death, for a short moment ere fading. For, friend John, hardly had my knife severed the head of each before the whole body began to melt away and crumbled into its native dust, as though the death that should have come centuries agone had at last assert himself and say at once and loud, I am here. Before I left the castle, I so fixed its entrances that never more can the count enter there undead.